You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Hello, it's a pleasure to contribute to the FIRE news desk of this year with this short contribution, which is titled Linking Rehabilitation, Victim Recovery, and Social Harm Reparation. This is Gemma Verona, speaking from the Basque Country, Spain. I am the director of the Basque Institute of Criminology and current president of the World Society of Victimology. This presentation comes from the prohibition of mediation and, as an extension, restorative justice to cases of intimate partner violence in the whole of Spain. So we have been working at the Restorative Justice Theory and Practice Lab together with some other initiatives with the European Forum for Restorative Justice to question this prohibition, to try to debate which are the fundamentals to prohibit in general mediation and, as I'm saying, in practice also restorative justice for cases of intimate partner violence that in Spain are described as those cases of any kind of violence by a man to a woman in relationships of partnerships or ex-partnerships. So this prohibition comes, of course, with the support of some parts of the feminist movement. It is also that is present not only in Spain, but in other places as well. And it entails the assumption that mediation and restorative justice in general is a risk toward the protection of women. So the assumption and the image of this is that we're going to try to sit together in a direct encounter the day after the harm, sometimes a very severe harm, meeting the victim and the offender, as I said, the day after the crime or some minutes later. There is this kind of image or assumption of what mediation and restorative justice is. So that's one first mistake that maybe we people who work in the field of restorative justice have not explained enough to policymakers and also society and activists. There's also the assumption that restorative justice might be banalization of the harm, that is just, you know, asking for very simple forgiveness in a relationship of emotional, financial dependency, and that also entails a risk. Finally, it's also envisaged the image, the idea that restorative justice equals somehow to civil mediation or labor or commercial mediation, which is more privatization of what is really a structural and a social harm. So I'd like to review with you this assumption, and this is something we are trying to contest with policymakers in Spain at different levels, the Spanish Congress, also autonomous governments, also activists. There are more and more also restorative feminist groups, even abolitionist feminist groups. And also, we also have proposed a pilot to run a pilot on restorative justice in cases of gender violence that in practice exist. They exist outside the criminal justice system in family mediation, being public or private, but also the possibility to develop it in prison with vicarious victims, and also with other forms of restorative justice dialogue. So the ban is based on this idea, this assumption, as I said, that it entails a great risk to women, that it's as the directive of the European Union on victims' rights might mean a direct attack on the right of protection, the right of non-intimidation, the right of non-father secondary victimization. Whereas we, and this is something we know because we have interviewed victims, because we have worked with victims of gender violence, and not all, of course, are interested in restorative justice. Again, we have to underline this is an option. It is an option that entails a lot of effort. It entails the coordination, the very well professionals in terms of facilitators of restorative justice, many times working together with other professionals using the style of restorative dialogues coming from non-violence communication, but also transformative mediation of Varouk and Folger, so that we can equal, so that we can minimize the risk of imbalance of power. So we want to stress that there is no juridical base to prohibit it, and there is not really empirical base to have a general prohibition for any kind of cases and any time. And so we analyze, of course, the Istanbul Convention, that is kind of the model convention, not only at the level of the Council of Europe, but also other countries outside the Council of Europe are adhering, are joining to this convention. And this convention only prohibits mandatory mediation, which is an oxymoron in terms, because mediation in criminal matters, restorative justice, is always optional. And we have to make sure that it's done at a voluntary basis. There is also other things that we might want to consider, that is this notion that restorative justice might also mean privatization, whereas it's really the idea that we cannot forget about the social harm to the woman in general and society at large. So there is always the presence of someone who is representing a diverse community. And this is very important. Restorative justice is not only about victim and offender, like in an individual basis, but it has to do also with a community level, that community most affected. And we can see how there are a lot of panels, how there are a lot of conferences and also cycles where the community is present, different communities, because at the end, also in all good practice in the intervention in cases of violence against women, we have to respect the principle of intersectionality and also of the empowerment of women and not patronizing. But this prohibition at large is a way of patronizing, because it is prohibiting restorative justice, is prohibiting the option to choose, the possibility to put the resources that are necessary so that the secondary victimization is not provoked, and so on. So we have to understand really what restorative justice is in order to try to see that there are risks. Of course, there are risks, but anything that is worth in life entails risk, and not doing anything, not intervening, it's also a risk if people want, if people demand this. Of course, in very severe cases, this will come at the end of the implementation of a prison sentence, maybe the execution of a prison sentence, or will be a complementary response. But is the possibility that victims in this way, when we interview them, they are grateful that they could choose maybe to say no, but just to, they were given an option, an information on how to do things differently if they're interested. Because this is part of the right that is also envisaged in the European Union directive, that victims have to be informed of restorative justice. Of course, and the legislation of every state might perhaps have some provisions on prohibition, like the case of Spain. So risk, Secondary victimization, yes, it's possible, but it's also possible to minimize a risk. And the idea is not a direct encounter the day after the harm, but it's the possibility of a step towards a horizon that it will take a lot of effort, coordination of different services of social psychological support. Restorative justice is not therapy. It has therapeutical effects, can have, but it's not therapy. Restorative justice works mainly with the dimensions of learning from harm, learning with others to try to that does not happen again. So the pro-social interests of victims of non-recurrence against oneself or against others. It works also with the idea of justice, of active responsibility. Is not impunity, it is not banalization, it's quite hard to take an active responsibility, accountability for what has been done, always with the support of this society and community, because offenders, they don't come out of the blue. There are brothers, there are sons, there are citizens, and we have to be responsible as society of their rehabilitation, as we are also responsible of the recovery of victims. Victimization is not an individual matter either. So it's not putting victims into risk. It entails risk. It's not a safe space, as it is usually said. It is a brave space. But it's an optional. We should not construct ideal victims. Victims who might want restorative justice are not either worse or better than other victims that are not interested. It comes from the needs of people. In that sense, restorative justice is a craft that respects the times and also involves the coordination of other professionals. There is no moral superiority in restorative justice. As said, it's a step towards a horizon, but it's always an optional step. It's not a privatization, because the community and also, of course, public officials might intervene as prosecutors, judges, supervising, of course, lawyers. It's not impunity, because, and particularly the most severe cases, there will be reparation and a follow-up of that reparation that has been engaged. This has to do with rehabilitation, particularly in serious cases, in prison or in probation, because, as it's explained by many authors, rehabilitation entails personal rehabilitation, judicial habilitation. It also means moral and political rehabilitation and social rehabilitation. So personal rehabilitation involves a conversation with oneself, a conversation with the pain that has been caused and it's also causing to oneself. Restorative justice might allow that conversation and self-knowledge, preparing a potential direct or indirect encounter. It also can be linked to judicial rehabilitation, because it also implies, it also helps to a process of de-labeling and restoring, in the sense also of reintegrative shaming of John Braithwaite. In terms of political rehabilitation, means that people who commit crime are people who commit crime. They are much more than the offense that has been committed. And victims are much more than the offense that they have suffered. So we cannot construct identities. In fact, there are cases where we have victim-offender overlapping. And this can also be part of that restorative justice conversation, although many times, particularly in intimate partner violence, we don't have victim-offender overlap. It entails also this social rehabilitation, because we have to work with communities. We have to involve society in order to help in those processes that somehow interact at certain point when the case is very serious, they will interact far away in time of recovery, reparation, and rehabilitation. This is probably very much complex than what I have been trying to explain, but there is a lot of literature that can support this. Still, we have to be careful because of the possibility of psychological, economic dependence and links between victims and offenders, the imbalance of power. But restorative justice can help in balancing that and in working in that step towards a horizon to balancing and transforming societies as well. So thank you very much for your patience and listening to this contribution. And you can find more information here or just reach me for more. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.